I'll be reading from Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. Genesis 6, 9 through 12. These are the records about Noah. Noah was a righteous man, the one good man in his generation. He lived close to the one true God. And Noah fathered three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was corrupt in all the presence of the one true God. All over the world, people were violent. God looked at the world, and look, it was corrupted, because all the people on earth were living twisted lives.
Evening. Hope everyone's doing well this evening. It's good to see you back, but it's sad to see that many are not back. So I would have a prayer for them at this time, but I know we all know, and let's pray for them later, shall we? As was just read a moment ago from this text, we see three different things that are mentioned about this man Noah that are from God Himself. Three great things that Noah even shows by example, that ultimately we are to be the same like that. God says this about Noah, and it's accounted to Noah for righteousness. But in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, we first see that God calls Noah a just man. He calls him just. So basically what this means, and let's go ahead and read that main text first before we go on once again. Genesis 6, 9, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. So the first thing that we see is that Noah was a just man. And God, what I want you to realize here is that He's distinguishing Noah from the rest of all of the generation that he's in. He's distinguishing Noah from the rest of all the world. So you think about everyone on this earth right now. Think about every single person living. How many people do we have on this earth? 8 billion? 7.8 billion is the last time I read. What would God distinguish you as? What would He distinguish me as this evening? Would He distinguish me as just, perfect in my generations? Would He distinguish me as those things? Or would He see me as just like the rest of the crowd? So that's a question for all of us to ask ourselves today, this evening. What would God see you as? And whenever you ask yourself these questions of, am I these three things? Well, am I just? Am I perfect in my generations? Do I walk with God? Would God say all these things about me? When you ask yourself that, and you're not able to truthfully answer all those things saying yes to all of them, if you're not able to say that truthfully, that's a problem. That's something that needs to be fixed. If that wasn't the truth about me, I would need to fix that. So we need to have every single one of these things, of course, be said about us. And I love to use good Bible characters as an example because they went through the same struggles that we went through. They were human just like we were. But guess what? Even God called Noah, because of Noah's actions, because of how Noah chose to live, He called Noah these three things, God Himself. So God, of course, can see us as these three things too. The question is, how are we living? Are we obeying Him? What are we putting in for God as far as work for Him in our lives? How much do we focus on our God? If you think about Noah's focus on God, what was the percentage of focus that Noah had on God? Would you say it's 100%? I'd say it's about 100%. Maybe not 100, because he's not perfect, because no man or woman is perfect except Jesus. But yeah, I mean, that guy was focused. Think about how long he built the ark. Think about how long that he was a preacher of righteousness, as the book of 2 Peter says. Yeah, he was preaching to those people even though none of them would listen. None of them. And then the whole world was, of course, destroyed by the flood. So let's first talk about this being just. So this means to be just as God is just, of course. We might think about how God will punish the wicked. We might think about how God will reward the righteous. These are all things going within that category of just. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 is a common verse regarding how God will punish the wicked. Let's go ahead and turn there. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So here we see here the judgment of God. We see the justice of God. Well, what is God calling Noah? He's calling him just. What could that exactly mean? We don't know enough about Noah to really know, but we can define what the word just means in the Scriptures. And we know that just is ultimately an attribute of God. God is someone who is just. In everything he does, there is justice. There's always a form of justice. So Noah, he was like this. He was a just man. We might think about it this way. How often would Noah stand up against evil? Well, it seems like he did it for a large, vast amount of time. That whole amount of time he was building the ark, whether it was really 120 years, whether it was rather 70 years, as some say, however long it was, it would have taken a long time to build that ark on likely land or whatever he was building it on. But people, you know, as he kept preaching, destruction is coming, just like every other prophet would. What do you think people were doing to Noah? You think they were mocking him? They were saying, Noah, why are you building this massive vessel? Because you're saying some great apocalypse is going to happen. You can see people saying that, can't you? They would say the same to us today if we were commanded to do that. So for Noah, him and his sons, likely, they were building that ark and the mockers were coming. They were saying, nothing's going to happen. Peace. What are you building this thing for? You guys are crazy. And they would just see Noah as the crazy man. Of course, they saw Ezekiel as the crazy man. They saw Jeremiah as the crazy man. They always saw the prophet as the crazy man throughout the Scriptures. Guess who that was? The world. The world saw the prophet as the crazy man. And then guess what? The crazy man wasn't so crazy after a couple hundred years or after a few years. Whenever the destruction came, whenever the judgment of God came, and then, well, maybe we should have listened. Maybe we should have listened. And what do you think it's going to be like after this life is over for a lot of people? Maybe we should have listened. Maybe. It's a sad thought, but ultimately it's the truth. But distinguishing Noah from the rest of the lot, and that is the world, is what God did. He saw that Noah was different from all people, that he was just, the rest of the world was going with evil, while Noah was going against evil. Psalm 89:14. Let's go ahead and read that real quick. Psalm 89:14. It's a good little psalm in regard to this. Psalm 89:14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. So, in this psalm, righteousness, which is the light, which is holiness, which is basically everything God, and then also what? Justice, are the very foundation of the throne of God. The very foundation. So if you think about that which everything else is built upon, justice, that's what God's throne is. So, yeah, there's going to be a judgment day. There was always a day of the Lord, wasn't there? In the Old Testament Scriptures, in the New Testament, sometimes people would be, by example, like even Ananias and Sapphira, they would be slayed for what they did. They would be used as an example of how sin leads to death. That would happen many times throughout the Scriptures. And it shows what? The justice, the judgment of God, time and time again. We see that all throughout the Scriptures, brethren. But this justice is what Noah exemplified. Of course, Noah wasn't going out killing people. That's not what I'm saying. But he had this sense of justice. He had this sense of standing up against what was evil, teaching people, preaching to people. That's what he was called, a preacher of righteousness. He brought the light to the darkness. He shined as a light in the dark world. That's what we as Christians should as well be doing. Deuteronomy 32:4. I'll just go ahead and read it for you. It's another passage. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. So his work is perfect. And then, what else? All his ways are justice. Every single way of God is a just way. There's nothing that's not unjust. There's nothing that's unjust with God, rather. Nothing. You can't think of one thing in the Scriptures that is not just with God. Every prophecy was fulfilled. Every good, you can only say that good was done by God. And if you try to say otherwise, it's not true. Who has the right to take away life as he gave it? God has the right. He has the right today, just as He did back then. God has every right to do whatever He wants with us. We were made by Him. We could be in a horrible situation, but our God loves us. He takes care of us. He wants us to do His will. God is not an unjust God. God is ultimately the God of justice. He's a God of love. All these attributes go together with God. And we'll see these next two attributes as well that Noah is about to exemplify. But ask yourself these questions at this time. Ask yourself right now. I want you to ask yourself in your mind, in your heart, these questions. Do I stand up for God? Do I stand against evil? Ask yourself those things right now. Do I stand up for God? Are you asking yourself? That's what I want you to do. Do I stand up for God? Do I stand up against evil? Do people see me as different in the world that we're living in? Do people see me different? And if they don't, that may be an issue. You ever think about that? Christians, we need to be seen as different. Why? Jesus was seen as different. Jesus even hung for being different on a cross. What are you doing? What am I doing for the cause of Christ? Be willing to give up all you have. What does that mean? What are you willing to give up? Think about all the people that are not here this evening. Now, maybe some it's for good reasons. Maybe it's for reasonable, just reasons. Some just can't make it for physical reasons. That's, yeah, God understands. Maybe a lot of them aren't just that, though. Maybe it's a heart problem. How much do they care about God? And I'm not singling anyone out. I'm not singling anyone out at all. I'm challenging you, Christians. I'm challenging you, friends. I'm challenging you all, and us all, to think about what we could be doing more for God. What did these great Bible characters like Noah do for God? And then we're told that it's used time and time again as example in New Testament Scripture. These same characters, that we should try to be like these characters. Why? Because God wants us to do things for Him, to work for Him, to show our love for Him. And if we're not doing that, we're just like the rest of the lot. We're just like the rest of the world. Do you want to be like that? Maybe you're different, but I want to be seen as different. I personally want to be seen as something special. Don't you? Do you want to be seen as something special, different from the rest of the world? I hope you all do, and I think you all do. You want to be seen as something special from the rest of the world, God's very own child, God's own special people, His royal priesthood, His holy nation. That's what you want to be seen as. And if you're going around cursing and taking God's name in vain in whatever shape or form that is, and doing whatever on earth you want as far as sin goes, if you're doing all that out in public whenever you're not in the assembly, is that showing God in your life? No, it's not. And maybe I'm preaching to the choir tonight, so to say. Maybe I'm preaching to the cream of the crop, which is very sad. But whoever sees this on this internet stream, whoever sees this and maybe you're not going to services tonight, ask yourself why. Ask yourself why you're not there. And for us who are here, I commend you. And God sees that. God sees you here today. He sees you here. He knows you love Him in your heart. And He accounts it to you. He knows you care for Him. He knows you give time. You think about how you give time in the middle of the week, going to Wednesday services. Guess who knows that? God knows that. Maybe you're not going literally to Wednesday services, but you're studying with someone in their own home. God sees that. Maybe you do nothing on Wednesday. Ultimately, there's 1,000 different factors that could be the case. Only God is the judge. God knows the heart. But that's why I'm saying ask yourselves, because I don't know. I don't know everything. I'm not God. Ask yourselves, do I really care for my God? How much am I willing to give for my God? So keep all these things in mind as we continue through this lesson. Ask yourself those questions. But as well, the second thing that we learn from this little passage here is that Noah was perfect in his generations. Read it again. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. So that's the second thing that is said about Noah. So this is basically a striving to be perfect in holiness and in righteousness, which basically can be used interchangeably. But it means to be perfect, just as God is. Now, can we be perfect? As almost in every lesson I say, no, we cannot be perfect literally. We cannot be perfect literally. But we're striving for perfection just as God is perfect. We're striving to be holy as God is holy. Matthew 5:48. Turn there with me. Matthew 5:48. Just a short verse. Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You could say, therefore, you shall be holy just as your Father in heaven is holy. Therefore, you shall be righteous just as your Father in heaven is righteous. And guess who's saying this? None other than Jesus, your Savior, your Lord. None other than your King. Jesus is telling us, His disciples, to be perfect just like the Father is. And again, we can't be literally perfect. We're going to mess up. We are. Even in the book of 1 John, it says, if we say we don't sin, we're liars. We do sin. We do mess up. But what is it about? It's about doing the best we can for God, whatever the circumstance, because everyone's got struggles in life. Some are harder than others. Whatever it is, doing the best for God. And think about Noah. That man was about to undergo the destruction of the entire world. That man was about to watch the entire world be slaughtered by a flood. Do you understand how horrible that would be to watch everyone that you know and love, maybe not, and not your family, because that part of his family was saved, but maybe all those other people be slaughtered by a flood, maybe banging on the outside of that ark, asking to get in as the rain is falling, as the waters are coming out. Can you imagine how horrible that would be? That would be terrible, hearing that. But ultimately, it's the judgment of God. It's the justice of God. But Noah, imagine listening to those cries. Those cries, we're sorry, Noah, let us in. I can't. I tried to warn you. I tried. You wouldn't listen. Yeah, that must have been terrible. And maybe it was so dense that they couldn't hear each other. But just thinking about it, thinking about those people and hearing the banging on the ark or whatever was going on, yeah, that's got to be awful. But Noah, he was perfect in his generations. He was the one who got on the ark. He was the one who God singled out. The rest of the people of the world were not like Noah. Noah was different. And that's what we as Christians should also be, seen as different by God. Turn to Romans chapter 12 with me. Romans 12, 1 through 2. It's a very important set of verses here for the Christian. Romans 12, 1 through 2. I don't want you to miss this text. Romans 12, 1 through 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What do? Present our bodies a living sacrifice. Be holy, be acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. That's our purpose, Christians. Be acceptable to God. Be holy. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. Does it look like we're a living sacrifice when we're out messing around drinking? Does it look like we're a living sacrifice for God, holy and acceptable to God? No, obviously it doesn't. No. And for those who are watching, maybe one of us may be guilty of that, and we're not perfect. But the question is why? Why? Don't let those things continue to corrupt you. Turn away from those things. Let God be able to call you perfect in your generations. Don't be stuck in any kind of addiction or sin any longer. Let God be able to say, this man, this woman is mine, and they are perfect among this generation. Can God say that about you? Can He say that about me? And if not, we have to correct that. We have to fix that. If you're questioning that in your mind at all, you've got to do something about that, Christians. Friends, you've got to do something about that. You can't sit here another moment and allow sin to be in your life and allow some type of corruption to be in your life. Let God be able to say, you are perfect in your generations. You are living the best you can for Him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 22. Another verse we can turn to. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 22. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. Continue in verse 23. Who when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. He committed no sin. Jesus, He achieved that perfection that God is talking about. Perfect in His generations. If you think about the main primary example of someone who did this, you think of Jesus. Jesus achieved that perfection. And guess who we're supposed to be looking to as our example, as Christians, who bear His name? Jesus Christ, the one who lived perfect so that we wouldn't have to, because we can't. We can't. He defeated the world for us. You know that? He came and He defeated it. You look at all this wickedness around the world and you're saying, how can we defeat this, God? How can we do it? Well, guess what? You don't have to. Jesus did. He came and He did whatever. I can't remember that verse. But He tripped Satan up is what He did. Jesus defeated Satan. Jesus defeated evil. You don't have to. You can't live perfect like He did. So don't worry about that. What do you have to do? Live the best that you can for Christ. Live the best that you can for God. Do His will in your life. Be acceptable and pleasing before Him in the end. So 1 John 3:5 is another verse. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Another one, Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus is the perfect example. Now again, doesn't mean Noah was perfect. We're using Noah as an example. You're a primary example. This doesn't mean that Noah was literally perfect, because he wasn't. He was a man. He messed up. If you say he didn't, you'd be a liar, because Jesus was the only perfect man. Jesus was. No man or woman that ever lived other than Jesus was literally perfect, and that they never sinned. No, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, with the exception of Jesus. But the last thing here that is said is that Noah walked with God. And what does that one mean? That one is probably the simplest one to understand. Noah walked with God. This means to make our very life, our very purpose, our very focus in life, everything that we are and do, to ultimately focus on God, to make our walk about God, to make our focus, our priority in life about God. Think about what you prioritize first in your life. What do you prioritize? What do you focus on first? Do you focus on where you're going after this? Do you focus on any number of things? What your wealth in life? Maybe business. What do you focus on? Maybe entertainment. Or do you focus on God first? Things to ask yourself. I don't know these things about you, Christians. I'm just giving you the challenge. I'm giving me the challenge. For us, what is the case? What is our focus? What is our priority? Think about what Noah's priority was. If he was delivered from the destruction of the world after building an ark for that many years, what was Noah's priority? It was God. It was God. And we're told to exemplify that. Noah is used as an example because God wants us to exemplify that. The Holy Spirit put that there so we could exemplify it. And all those used in the New Testament from Old Testament scriptures, even David, all those different people, exemplify those acts of faith. Exemplify those works that they did for me. Understand that it is not just a faith-only thing I'm trying to throw at you here. You have to do something for me. Why do people get faith-only from all of these scriptures? Why? It drives me insane. It drives me up the wall. It doesn't make any sense. We were talking about denominational doctrines before this. It doesn't make any sense. People do whatever they want to do, don't they? They do. Christians, Stay with the Scripture. It's simple if you keep it simple. But if you start going off, it won't be simple any longer. And God will not be supporting you any longer. Stay with the Scriptures. It's very simple to understand. If you just read it within its context, it's simple. It's not hard to understand the will of God. And of course, we follow the New Testament. We don't even have to worry about the Old Testament things, except using them by example for our faith. But Noah walked with God. So what should we do as well? We should walk with God in the same way that he did. 2 Peter 2:5. We'll say a few things here, and then we'll be done. 2 Peter 2:5. Second Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. We'll start in verse 4. Get context. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And then it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah after that. So Noah, he walked with God. When everyone else didn't, when everyone else mocked him for it, when everyone else said, Noah, you're crazy. There's no God about to do this destruction. Noah, you're crazy. There's not even a God. Noah, you're crazy. Do whatever you want. No, Noah chose to walk with who? He chose to walk with God, not with himself. That's what people made it about. They made it about themselves. They chose to do evil continually. All that they could think about was evil continually. And what do we see in our society today? People thinking about evil continually. Don't let that become you. Christians, I'm trying to warn you. It's right around the corner. You can get latched into that. Don't let that become you. Stand strong. Walk with God. Confirm your faith. Make sure you're sure and steadfast in the faith. And resist temptation in everything. Because it's around the corner. It's everywhere you go. Temptations by Satan. Temptations by evil. For us as Christians, this walking with God is absolutely essential. We are children of God. Why should we not walk with our Father? We should walk with our Father. We should walk after that one who we bear His name. We should walk after Christ. Just as He walked, we're told to walk. We're told to follow His commandments. John 14:15. James 2:18-26. This is the last thing I'm going to ask you to turn to, and then we're going to finish up here. James 2:18-26. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Verse 24. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Cut it out. No more Book of James. That's what some people do. And they believe in faith only. Bye-bye, Book of James. I don't want you anymore. Are you guilty of that? Do you realize that the Book of James is God-breathed words to you? Do you understand how many denominations cut out this book and cut out other verses like it? And they say, well, that's not inspired Scripture because so-and-so back in 400 A.D. proved by these historical documents here that this one was actually not inspired, and this guy over here knew this guy, and he knew him, and he said that he's not inspired. Come on. It's inspired Scripture. These are canonical Scripture. If it was not, we wouldn't be reading it right now. We know it by now, 2,000 years later. We know it. The Book of James tells you faith without works is dead. Can you see that from the life of Noah? Yeah. You can see that he worked for God. Can you see that from Rahab? Can you see that from Abraham? Yeah. You can see they worked for God. Faith and works go together. If you say they don't, that is a lie. That is a scriptural lie. They go together. And we should always understand, Christians, that if we don't have works, if we make our lives, our Christian lives, only about having faith and believing there's a God or accepting God into our hearts or just showing up for services and doing nothing else and having nothing in your heart, if that's how you're living your Christian life, you're not living a Christian life. Do you realize that? Faith without works is dead. Works come from the heart. It's not just blatant doing works for no reason because I don't even mean it. No. It's works because you love your God, because you have faith in your God, because you're commanded to do it. That's faith without works. They go together. The word pistuo, faith in the Scriptures, always indicates a work going with it. Every single time. If you say it doesn't, that's a lie. Don't be deceived by false teachers. Don't be deceived by denominations or the world, whoever it is who tells you that faith can come and you don't have to have works and you'll be saved. That's a lie. That's a false teaching. I'm not saying that because I don't like the people who say that. I'm saying it because that's the will of God. Because that's the Scriptures. It's as simple as that. And if you can't get used to that, that's your problem. That's God's will. That's not mine. I'm preaching it because it's God's will. And I'm giving it to you cold and hard because I don't like it. No, because it's the will of God. Because it's the message of God. The same message that the prophets had to give to people. The same message the apostles had to give to people. And guess what? We got false teachers all around today just like they had back then. And guess what we have to do, Christians? We got to preach against that junk they're putting out there. Because there's a lot of junk they're putting out there. There's a lot. Be ready. Be watchful. Endure in afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Christians, this is for all of us. There's plenty of false teachers. Plenty of evil. Can it be said about you that you're just, you're perfect in your generations, that you walk with God? What would be said about you by God Himself? Right now. Right now. What would be said? Ask yourself. What would be said about me? That's the lesson. If you're a Christian and you're struggling with anything this evening, the invitation is always yours. Please do come to the front as we're about to stand and sing if you have any needs whatsoever. Any needs at all. If you need repentance of sin, get rid of it now. Now. Get rid of it. We're not going to judge you for it. If anyone does, that's wrong to do so because we've all sinned. If you're not a Christian, believe Jesus is the Son of God, be willing to repent of those sins, your past life, all of those sins, all that evil. Be willing to repent. Shouldn't be a problem if you believe in the will of God, if you believe in God, if you love your God, if you want to do His will. It shouldn't be a problem to be able to repent, to get rid of sins in your past life. It shouldn't be a problem. Confess Jesus is the Son of God before men. That shouldn't be a problem either. Be baptized into the water, immersed into the water, to be added to the kingdom of God and be remissed of your sins. That is a command. And then remain faithful unto death, and He'll give you the crown of life. You will be made royalty. You will be a king, a queen of God. A child of God wearing a crown for all of eternity. Will that be you? What would God say about you right now? Ask yourself that question every day this week. Every single day. In the good times, in the bad times, what am I doing for God? What would God say about me? It's a challenge for us all tonight, Christians. A challenge. Let that marinate. Let that hit your soul. It hits mine. A life like Noah's, I'll tell you, it hits my soul. Let it hit your soul. What would God say about you? What would He say about me? If you have a need, please come to the front as we stand and sing.
Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call, 'tis the fountain.